Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Okay, this is StarsCast, also known as Natalie. We're back on the air again tonight. I have my lovely Stars Maya Moon, and I have the awesome Stars Priestess Candy Ranson in the chat. As usual, she sits there and kind of works it for us. And tonight is it's not an unusual topic. It's like, you know, when no is the answer, but we're always looking for answers. We always want an answer for something. It doesn't matter what it is, and sometimes there really is no answer. So that's our topic for tonight, and if you'd like to call in, we'd be happy to, if you wanted to share something with us or add to the show. You know, we don't do readings, however, but you're welcome to call in, and that is 347-838-9736. And with that, I will connect with my Maya Moon and start to talk to her about this no thing. What do you think about it?
Well, hi, it's great to be here this evening as always, and welcome to everyone. Well, I totally agree that as humans we are always seeking answers, and sometimes, you know, not hearing something or no answer is actually the answer, but we often have a hard time accepting that. And we're just driven to, I mean, it obviously technology wouldn't be where it is today, and the medical field wouldn't have made the strides if we didn't have that drive in our nature. So there's a lot of positivity about that, but there also can come a point when we can consistently misconceive an answer because someone or something is not being forthright with us, or, you know, they're not saying a total no. Like, I know I had mentioned when I'd written a blog about a job interview, and, you know, if several weeks go by, unless you're told in advance, you can pretty much assume that if even though you didn't get a decline letter, that you probably are not up for that job. So I don't know. You're always good at sharing personal experiences, Natalie. So what do you have, or how do you relate this to?
Well, I'm thinking of relationships. Not that I'm an expert at it, but how about this? You know, you go out on a date, and he says to you, "Well, I'll call you." Well, you never hear from him. Or you'll say, "Will you give me a call?" And sometimes the person will say, "Oh, yeah, sure." But you never hear from them. So no answer, no call means no. I don't want to talk to you. But, I mean, as far as anything else, I'm trying to think here how we could relay this to the audience. A job is good. Like, you know, the way I hire people, I haven't hired anybody in a really long time. And however, for me, when I meet with them and talk with them on Skype, I listen to their voice. I listen, sometimes I'm the devil's advocate, but there really hasn't been any time where I didn't hire on the spot. However, I thought maybe one day it would come to that. And I started thinking, well, if I start interviewing a lot, I may just say, "Well, I'll get back to you." And if they don't hear from me, then they would know, well, I guess they don't want me. So that's another avenue. Sometimes it's better not to get an answer, but I like to have an answer. I like to know, is it yes or is it no? You know, if I were, say I was seeing somebody, and, well, are we going out this weekend? No answer, no response. Well, I would like to know. Sometimes you need to plan things. Sometimes you need to know what you're going to be doing. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it will, you know, if, I'm dealing with relationships here that I don't know how else we could apply it, but I guess you could apply it to almost anything in life. Even going to the doctor, you know, you really want an answer, but maybe there is no answer. Sometimes you're not, and that's actually better for you, because if this physician doesn't have an answer as to why you're ill, it doesn't mean, though, that it's serious. It just means there is no answer. I don't have an answer for you. I cannot tell you precisely what is going on. Other than that, I don't know. What about you, Maya?
Well, I think that's a great putting it the same thing. Or for those of us that have various tests or whatever through our physician or center, a lot of times nowadays they will get back with us regardless. But for a long time, and still, I think it still goes on, where they say if there's anything abnormal or you need to know, we'll get back with you. And even that, even though we should be reassured that, okay, they said they'd have the results by Wednesday and now it's Friday, I haven't heard, that must mean everything's okay, I think it's our nature to want to make a call just to make sure. I mean,
exactly.
Because once we start questioning one thing, and the things that you mentioned, yes, those are very difficult. And even taking it a step further, too, as relationships where, you know, one side or the other seems to feel that things are going well and progressing, and suddenly the other partner, the other half, the other person just seems to kind of drop off the face of the earth, or they don't give a solid reason. And that's very, very difficult.
Well, and sometimes too, Maya, though, in that situation, if they can't be forthright and say, well, it was nice meeting you, and or if you point blank ask them, you know, I mean, this would not be on a first date, obviously, but not hearing from that person and not knowing actually can drive you out of your mind, because you're wondering, well, what was wrong? It's just like going to the doctor, same thing. Well, I would rather have that office call me, say you're perfectly healthy. Now what they do a lot of times is before you leave, like if you have a mammogram, you'll know right away. They will tell you immediately, you're good to go. Hit the road, go celebrate. That's what I do, you know. But sometimes when you don't have an answer at all, one way or another, it's actually worse, and it can be in many situations. And because I think this applies a lot to relationships, but even a job, oh my, you'd be spinning your wheels wondering, well, did I get it? Didn't I get it? Well, I guess I didn't get it because I didn't hear anything. Not necessarily so. Sometimes you enter something and you think, well, oh, I did really well on this interview and all was going good. And if you had any tests to do, you know, sometimes you have to have math tests and stuff like that. I don't know that they do that anymore, but they used to. Well, you know, you think you did fairly well and everything, so you figure, okay, I'll get hired. But then you don't hear anything at all. And you are compelled to call. And the person that answers the phone says, well, gee, I really don't know. Oh, well, whoop-de-doo. You don't, who knows, right? I can tell it, the situation with me with, and I'm, you know, I can tell everybody about it, a stock certificate. I have a stock certificate.
Right.
Yeah, I have a stock certificate. Friday I called this gentleman again. Because he had called me and said, well, you know, money was dispersed in 2008. I said, really? Well, where did mine go? Well, I think he knew in my voice, my authoritative voice. I was very nice to him. He was a very nice man. I said, well, you know, I think you should push it forward to whomever because I want a definitive answer. Well, by last Friday, I didn't hear anything. So I called him again, and I said, you know, his name is Bill. You know, Bill, I'm not going to let this go. And he was kind of laughing. He says, no. I said, this is important. This is, it needs to be resolved somehow. He says, well, it's been moved forward, then forward, then forward. In other words, it's going up to different departments. I says, I don't care how high it goes. I want to know what's going on. And I still don't have an answer. Now, I don't know that I'll get an answer. Maybe I will. Or they're going to want to hide it under the carpet because something shady went on back in 2008 with it. Somebody may have signed my name. Somebody may have accepted the money. I didn't get it. Then they're going to be in real trouble. But, you know, sometimes you really need to know an answer. I mean, I didn't get a yes or a no from them. Yes, it's valuable. No, it's not. So you're hanging in limbo. You don't really know. The only thing you can do, and I think that's part of our nature, the way we are, spiritual beings or not, you want to be through with this. You want to get it over with. You want to know. But many times you're going to be kept waiting and waiting, and you're never going to get the answer. In this case, I will, because I will push it heavy. But, I mean, like in a relationship situation, sometimes that other person disappears and you never hear from them again. And I don't think that's good either. But some people cannot give bad news, cannot say, well, it's been nice, you know, the dinner was nice meeting you, but I don't think we'll be seeing each other again.
Right.
Now, that can really hit you in the face, too, because you thought maybe it was going well. So sometimes it's better for some people not to know that, not to hear those words. For me, if I was in that situation, I would probably figure if I didn't hear from them, that would be it. I would give it like a week, and that's it. Well, okay, you know, there's nothing there, and hopefully I wasn't crazy about this person to get my feelings hurt. But you can use this in really any scenario that you want, and I think most of us really want a yes or a no. But, you know, the real truth is sometimes, you know, a no is the answer if you do hear a no, and you have to be happy with that answer. But that's not easy to do either, Maya, to have somebody say, no, you didn't get hired. No, I'm not going to see you again. You know, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's an up and down kind of thing. It makes you feel, affects you in different ways. For me, with this certificate, you see, I'm not going to let this go. Because if anybody knows me well, you never steal from me. And I told him that. You don't steal from me. Somebody got my money. So be prepared.
Yeah.
And but nobody's given me an answer yet. So they'll probably drag it out as long as they can. I'll be the one that's going to have to keep pursuing it, I'm thinking, and yours truly will do that, because in that situation, no answer is not good enough for me. I want to know. But sometimes people, that's how they escape a decision, is they don't give you an answer because they don't know what to do. And that's kind of sad, too. I don't know, you have anything to add to that, Maya?
Well, just that, you know, like the company, for example, it's hard in that particular situation. I agree that it has to be pursued. It's not one of those things where you can just shrug it off. This is something that you need a detailed answer, that something was done in 2008 and you need to know specifically what and to whom, if there was a payment made, to whom it was made, who signed it. Because that's not just a mistake. That can get into a legal matter if someone did forge your signature or claim to be you and they weren't. But, okay, the company, it sounds to me like, I'm not sure what the guy has said to you, but they are, you know, they probably have more access to the details than what they're telling you. But they're the kind that, you know, they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, so they're going to keep passing the buck off to the next one, instead of saying, you know, whatever the details may be. And that may not be true, but that's just an example, and you're right. A lot of people are very passive, and they have a difficult time, especially if you have an assertive person and then you have a more passive person, regardless of whether it's relationship, job, whatever, the assertive person is going to be more assertive and say, you know, well, why aren't you calling me? We've been seeing each other, or whatever the situation is. And the passive person and in their minds, they're not able to come forward with the truth and say, look, I just think we should be friends, or I'm thinking about my ex or whatever. And so while there's times when we absolutely, I do feel it's our right and our duty, and it's part of our path and journey and lesson to pursue something to a yes or a no or an explanation, I feel that there's other times when, what like what you said, when we're not listening, when the person has tried over and over, or maybe a job that you applied for the same job, and they've told you for 3 years now you don't have the qualifications. We're looking for someone with a 4-year college degree, and you've yet to get that. Then, to me, that's a time where there's nothing left to pursue there. And so, I mean, I feel that a lot of us, if it doesn't fit with our outcome or our ideal, what we want to see, we tend to ignore the signals from the more passive people who really they would hurt I would say it would hurt a lot less if someone was just very honest and said, I think
exactly.
You're a great woman, or I think you're a great guy, but I just don't feel a connection with you.
Yeah.
That would be better than them to...
I have a lot of male friends. I don't need another one. Oh, that would be
right.
Insulting, wouldn't it? I have a lot of male friends. You'd just be added to the list. Well, this guy that I'm dealing with is passive. And I said, and you know, Bill, I'm not going to let this go. And I said, if I have to make more calls, I will ask you to send me to the person that has this problem, this issue, and I will discuss it with him. I don't care how high I have to go. I want answers. And he understood. He was really nice, but he was kind of caught. See, he didn't know what to say. And I think by not giving me an answer, well, yes, it was dispersed, or no, it wasn't, they're going to get caught at something. They know, I have the document. They don't have it. So, I said to him, it may not be worth anything. I said, but I want to know. My mother kind of pushed me to open this envelope, and there it was. After she got it in, I had it transferred in my name in 1981. That's a long time to have shares in a company. And no matter what, and he said, well, maybe they're not valuable. See, he didn't know what to say to me. And I said, I don't think my mother, being as shrewd as she was, would have taken something and said, oh, yeah, I'll put it on my wall for wallpaper. My mother was smart, very smart. And he said to me, Jesus, maybe it's a good thing I'm not talking to your mother. I said, well, it's worth talking to me because I'm smarter than she is. And I said, I know a lot about business. And she, for the time that she was doing what she was doing, she was awesome, but things changed. He got into computers and all of that. See, when this was all done, it wasn't on computers. So somebody could have filed it away and said, oh, well, they're not going to know. They're not going to say anything.
Nobody's come forward until you
Right, exactly.
Didn't.
Now, there might be a lot of people just like me who got these shares when they retired. I don't know how many. But this company has merged many times, and it's a huge, it's a multi-billion-dollar company. So if this is a great amount, you can bet they're going to want to keep me at bay as long as they can. However,
right.
I will only give it so much time. And if I don't reach the person that I want, see, in this case, I need an answer. So sometimes you do need an answer. You need to reconcile with it. You need to know how to pursue. Well, I hope they didn't make any mistakes because it won't be good. They did something illegal. And how somebody said, oh, yeah, we dispersed that money in 2008. And I was laughing. Really? Well, gee, it's funny. I didn't get anything. See, so and can you imagine the big companies that get away with this stuff and they never give the answers? They never, because they're afraid to. Well, whoever's way up high doesn't really want to talk to me. And I told him, I said, I won't settle for just you telling me, oh, it's not worth anything. I want a legal paper stating from somebody who has the authority that this is what transpired, and the value of it is nothing. I said, because I'm going to turn it over to my attorney, and I'll let him deal with it. So, you see, as soon as I said that, he thought, uh-oh, she's not playing games here, and I'm not. I mean, and it might not be worth anything. It's okay, but don't make me think I'm stupid, because I'm not, you know. So, or don't let me think I'm stupid, not make me, you know. But I think, I don't know, in this case, it would really be nice to get an answer. In this instance, I need an answer. And not giving me any answer at all, for me, makes me think something's going on. They did something, and they are going to get caught at it now, and they're not going to know what to do. It'll be a continuing saga.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't want to cause anybody any problems, but by the same token, this was given to my mother, and luckily it was transferred into my name. But my attorney said, "Oh, it's probably not worth anything," but she didn't know. And
right.
I said, "Oh yeah, probably not," and I put it away. I filed it away and just uncovered it about 4 weeks ago. After all this time, it made a big move to South Carolina from Michigan. And I was starting to go through some papers, and I think really it was probably my mother that was pushing. And if you knew my mother, you would know she would be angry that somebody was trying to get away with something, because that was not her style at all. And so I'll keep everybody posted. but in that instance, you need an answer. No answer is not going to suffice with me. And I think, but that's in business. You can be like that. But when it's in a relationship, your feelings are at stake. Maybe you really like this person an awful lot, and then they'll say, "I'll call you," and they never call. That's another thing, too. That's like no answer at all. You don't know. Maybe you don't really want to know what they thought of you. I don't know. I've never really been in that situation. I didn't date that much, so I don't know. How that people would react to that. Nowadays, probably most of the young women would just say, "Okay, there's another ship coming by. We'll just see what that one is," you know. It would roll off of them. But what if you really, really liked this person? And they were in a position where, you know, they were, like you said, passive. They couldn't be aggressive and say, "Well, you know, I'm going to be busy for the next 6 months," or give you some indication. But it
right.
can be really tough. It can be tough on you, and you run into a lot of people like that. Not all, as a woman, not all men are strong like that. Not all men are like that. Some, rather than hurt your feelings, they would just say, "I'll call you," but they never do. And a lot of gals get their feelings hurt with that. Men, too, I suppose. If they think you like them and you call and you say, "Oh, well, I'm busy then." "No, I'm busy then too." "No, I have a boyfriend now." You know, see, so I don't know. It's a testy situation, isn't it, Maya?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, if we're going to, like in your case, it is different. I mean, there are situations where we're entitled to receive an answer regardless of whether it's the answer we want or not. You need something more, like what you said was absolutely true. You're not going to just go on somebody saying, "Oh, well, we cashed that out," when, you know, you didn't get it. And even if it turns up it's not worth anything, that's okay. The point is you want to know, you want that,
right.
You know, appropriate document that states, you know, these stocks, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, so one thing that we do have to think about when we are pursuing something, and, you know, generally we have an intuitive feeling, especially with relationships, that something may be not right. A lot of these where, you know, people that are more local too, not, I'm not talking about long distance across country, but, you know, online, the social media, the app, that is such a popular way of meeting people. And I don't feel that there's anything wrong with it. But just like in real life, you still have to be cautious and careful. And to me, if there's something going on, if you've been talking and you've shared a great deal with this person, but you've yet to meet him, and let's say maybe even it's just a two-hour drive, or the person, you know, stays in touch, but it's always just text, it never calls. I mean, there's just so many different layers out there. But if we are going to really push for an answer, then we have to be able to accept what we may get. And then we also have to be willing to say that this person may not, it may be what they aren't saying. You know, like if you're saying, I love you, I want you to be a part of my future, and the person doesn't ever respond with anything that talks about the future or whatever, then it might be time to think, you know, maybe they're not responding and they're not giving any indication of, you know, you're not meeting their family, you're not meeting their friends or whatever, that that person is trying to tell you in their way. It may not be the right way and the way that's the most satisfying, because, you know, I do feel we deserve more than that. And
Exactly. That's really, really true. I mean, I'm thinking back to when I first met my husband. I think it was like the second or the third time we went to his parents' house.
Wow.
I mean, it was different. It was really different then. It's so, so different now. My daughter-in-law was over. We were talking about my granddaughter, who's going to be 12 in a couple, well, week and a half. And, you know, the big thing is you're not really dating a boy, but you say you're dating, it's not. It's a term that they use. Well, you know, my daughter-in-law's getting a little nervous, and I said, well, don't even ask me about it, because you know how I feel about it. But that's how you can get really hurt, is people assume things and they don't really tell you. And she's really, really sensitive. She keeps it in. She doesn't let you know, but you can hear it in her voice. So, the only thing I said to my daughter-in-law was, well, you know, you have to kind of keep tabs on things and find out really what's going on, if there's anything. I mean, 12 is really a tender age, I think, and you just have to be careful. And I don't want her to be set up early on in this age and be hurt because she thinks somebody really likes her, and really, in fact, well, this dating, quote unquote, you're not really dating. He's not picking you up, and you're going out. But you can get hurt by that, and I think, and she said something else that would apply. My granddaughter has friends that they sidestep her sometimes. They'll get together, and they're all friends together from grade school, right? And she notices by pictures that are posted on Facebook, which is, you know, people know I don't like Facebook. But anyways, pictures are there, and she really gets her feelings hurt because she was not invited. Well, that's like, you know,
what did they do that she wasn't invited to?
Oh, it was this little, it was like this place where they had this pool, and it's a, you know, I guess there's some slides there, and a bunch
like
of them got together. Yeah, like a water park, but not as big as a water park. And they had talked about it, but they ignored her. They did not include her. And so, you know, my daughter-in-law and I discussed it a long time. And the thing with Jada, I shouldn't even say her name, but the thing with my granddaughter is she's a real strong force. She doesn't need you, but I know her feelings were hurt. See, I just know it. And because they did, she asked, she says, well, how come I wasn't included? They didn't have an answer for her. So, see, that's the same thing. You can be really young, and you don't get an answer. So she's probably thinking to herself, well, is there something wrong with me? So it can start at an early age, really early age. And so I'll be spending time with her this week, and her and I will discuss this. And I'll lead her down the right path. But I think it's probably better to get an answer than not to have one. What do you think, Maya? I mean, if you were seeing somebody, and it was going along fine, and you cornered them and said, well, why haven't you called? Well, actually, you would force them to tell you, probably. But what if they never called again or something? Wouldn't that bother you as to them calling and saying, huh? Would it bother you?
Yeah, yeah.
If you really liked them and you thought, well, gee, is there something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Because what it'll do is you start thinking, and then you get these feelings about, well, God, there must be something wrong with me. And then you feel like you're always on notice if you see somebody else or even a girlfriend, even if your girlfriends ignore you. I had that issue when I was a little girl. I had one girlfriend. I'd sit and I'd see her walk right past my house, and then she'd go across the street to the other girlfriend. The three of us always did things together, but every once in a while they would do that. And if you don't think that didn't hurt my feelings, so I asked my one friend, well, why do you do that? And she looked at me. She didn't even have an answer for me. I remember that now. Now, that bothered me. Well, I'm good enough sometimes, but not all the times, I guess. But these are young kids, you know. Kids really get their feelings hurt, and they don't think about somebody else. But when you're an adult, but if you think about it, these children are going to be grown up, and they're going to be like that because they've never been called on the carpet, so to speak. Well, I want to know exactly why Carol walked by my house and went to your house. She never, and to this day I think about it, she never stopped to get me first. Never. And I was on the same side of the street. So, but did it affect me? No, I was very lucky because we know what my life was like when I was a child. But to somebody else, that could make that when they get to be adults, women, and somebody doesn't give them an answer, I mean, they could be like thrown in a corner. It could be devastating. I really
Right.
think you should know. You should tell somebody, gee, I had a lot of fun. But, yeah, even make up something like, but I got back with my girlfriend, or I got back with my boyfriend, or whatever. But give them an answer. Don't leave them dangling because it affects them, and you have no idea what it's going to do. And I know from being a little girl, that's why I'm going to straighten out Jada right away. It's not going to happen to her. But she, you know, I know her feelings got hurt because she figured, God, we're all friends. And then they start ganging up, you know, they get in their little groups, and you don't want to see that happen to anybody that you love dearly. But that did happen to me every single time. And I guess I just let it roll off me. I don't recall crying about it or anything, but I did ask the other girl, the girl that lived across the street, why Carol never came to my house to get me first. And they would play together, and they wouldn't even come to get me that day. This would be like in the summertime. And I lived
right.
in Detroit, and you keep the doors unlocked, and the screens were on the doors, and the windows were open, and it was carefree and no problems. And I don't, trying to think, what did I do? I probably ended up reading. I probably didn't give it much thought, probably because I was afraid. If I did, it would really crush me, because I thought we all got along together. Well, obviously, I missed something in the translation, but then they probably grew up to be just like that. Probably Carol did the same thing. It wasn't the girl across the street, but it was Carol. She probably did that to all of her friends. She would go sidestep somebody and didn't realize what she was doing. But I never really got an answer because my other friend had no idea. But yet that friend didn't come and get me either.
Right.
See? You know, I don't play like that. Those are not my rules. I don't do that. I would never, I guess because I cared too much about everybody, even as a little girl, I would never have done that to anyone, never. Because I would always be thinking, God, that's going to really make them feel awful. You're good one day and you're not good to do things with the next day. So,
right.
But as grown-ups, when you get to be a grown-up, you're going to do the same thing, I bet you any money, unless somebody really slaps you on the head and says, look, do you see what you just did? That's wrong. Maybe that's why I am who I am, and who knows what they're doing today. If they're still around, I don't know. But I know I was the good person because I didn't let it bother me. I just went and did my own thing by myself. But not everybody can do that, and it can really hurt some people. And even, like, as adults, I think if you're seeing somebody and all of a sudden you don't hear from them anymore, well, what'd they do? And that kind of leaves a scar with you, don't you think, Maya? It kind of, because then you get a little shell shock. You don't know, gee, if I start to see somebody else, are they going to do that to me too? And then you don't trust yourself anymore. So the answer is really better rather than no answer. But in some situations, I guess, if it's not involving your feelings like a job thing and you don't get an answer, oh, you and I, Maya, we would call. Okay, I would like to know why I wasn't hired. But that's how we are, see? But I wouldn't make a big deal of it. It would just be for my own satisfaction so I could do better on the next interview that I had or whatever. I don't think I ever did an interview, come to think of it. I just got jobs in my in the clubs that I worked for. You know, I was basically in customer service, you know, a tennis director. I mean, I handled all kinds of people, and somebody saw something in me right away. And can you imagine me doing that? And I was an only child. I never thought of that just now. And I handled a big, huge club. I was assistant to the head pro, and I mean, really, when you think about it, that was amazing. I wasn't afraid of anything. But I think I had help, and I was a little girl, like you said, Maya. I was not really truly alone. And so, what else do you have to add about this? Since I'm taking up the whole hour blabbering away about my life.
Well, no, I think you make some great points in that. You know, if you feel like it's something you need to know and you can't, we can't collect those experiences allow them to define us, because we're going to walk away. Each time something like that happens, it's going to take from our self-esteem. And, you know, kids, especially like you're mentioning your granddaughter, at that age, they can be brutal. You can be their best friend or their boyfriend, girlfriend. I know it's not dating at that age is not really truly dating, but like you said, they can, you know, everything can be fine, and then kids can be so brutal and cruel. And
well, they
like can be. And in your situation, and I feel that sometimes too, the people like yourself and maybe your granddaughters that way, that tend to be more open and accepting, maybe passive in certain situations, they do sometimes get left out because it's the more aggressive and assertive, and not necessarily that that's the better way either. I'm not suggesting that. But when you have, I had a client, and this is someone from a long time ago in a private setting, so she had a daughter that was in college, and the daughter was constantly saying that no one liked her, no one invited her out, you know, no one did that. But what I was seeing is that the daughter was making absolutely no effort. She was in a sorority, and one of the highest sororities, too. So you don't get picked for that if they don't feel that you're going to be a part of the group. But they're not, you know, it takes two. So in her case, she was, you know, coming across maybe as being stuck up when really she was just a little bit on the shy and sensitive type. And she expected that everyone was going to come running and say, oh, we're doing such and such. Where if she, once she started getting over that and she got a little more assertive, and said, hey, what are we doing tonight, guys? What's going on this weekend? As soon as she started presenting herself in a little bit better way, she started to make friends, and she had a much more active social life. So sometimes, too, I think that we can put off the energy that can cause people to either back away or be intimidated even and be afraid to tell us, even though it's always the right thing if we're asked. I don't know that it really serves our good for somebody to say, look, I'm never going to call you because I think you're really not the kind of person I'm looking for.
Right.
I don't know if that would, but to go to the other extreme and say, you know, yeah, I'd love to do this again for sure. I'll call you next week, you know. I mean, instead just say, you know, I appreciate your company and it was great meeting you. And leave it at that. Don't make promises. I mean, there's many ways of handling it. And then there's many ways if we want an answer, like if it is with the job, that we can say, you know, I've applied. Can you give me some feedback on why I was selected? And they might just say we had a more qualified applicant that had worked in this industry longer, or we had someone that had a higher degree, or they might just say we just didn't feel you came across as strong in your interview. But it can be constructive.
Right.
If we can
yeah.
take it, you know, if we can take it that way, certainly. And I believe we all want answers. I mean, we talk
well,
about...
Well, it helps to develop us, especially when we're really young. It really does help. The gal in the room wanted to know, did I forgive my friends? I never pursued it. My childhood was very unusual. I still would see Linda, my friend across the street. Carol kind of went off onto her own. We were all about the same age. You know, we all started school together. I don't think it really did a number on me to where I was sulking and or being really upset. I think probably what I did, because that's what I did, is I looked out the window and saw her going over there, and I thought, well, I'm not going to play with them today. And, you know, we would play dolls and that kind of stuff. We were probably in the fourth grade, I guess. And or third grade, and I would do what I always did, I'm sure, I don't recall, was probably I read. And sometimes I didn't read. Sometimes I just sat. And what I was probably doing was meditating, and I didn't even know it. Now that I
right.
think about it, Maya, I would sit and I was absorbing. And whatever I was absorbing was giving me that nice feeling that I didn't even have to think about forgiving them. I just let it go because I had something better coming for me. And that we've talked about that. That's what I really think. It didn't affect me. But I know it will affect my granddaughter unless I show her and tell her what happened to me. Then she's going to remember that. And her son is in cancer, so, you know, she's sensitive, but she will... You know, you can see when she's been hurt by something, but if you hurt her physically, oh, you'll never know it. I mean, she stands up against these girls in soccer, and I just watch, and I sit there, boy, this little boy, she was a lot bigger than Jada, and I thought to myself, you just wait the next time she encounters you. And sure enough, she stood there like a brick wall, and this girl ran into her thinking she was going to knock her over, and she got knocked over. I mean, my granddaughter didn't go after her to hurt her. But I said to my son, you watch what she does. She's not going to put up with it. It's like that day that I rode my bike down to that little boy because he threw a rock. He was stoning me. He was throwing rocks at me. Same thing.
Oh,
now that I think
God.
About that. Oh, you're not going to do that to me. And all it took was one time, and I just pounded him in the face. I don't know if he cried or not. I don't remember. I got on my little two-wheeler, and I went back home, and that was it. And nobody messed with me again in the neighborhood, ever. Boys, girls, it didn't matter. And I was just this little thing. But I didn't do it for that reason. I just did it because I was just so beside myself. How could somebody keep throwing stones at me to try to hurt me? See, that was appalling to me. I didn't even know what the word appalling was then. But that, I couldn't understand it at all. How could you hurt another person? So that was part of me, what I was, and still is. And but I'm going to relay that. See, there's divine intervention tonight. I said that story so that I can tell her probably tomorrow. And because you don't, you know, it's just like, you know, any your son or daughter or grandchild, they're a part of you. You don't want them to hurt. You want them to learn and always be a good person. So. Yeah, it's tough growing up, isn't it? But, you know, they're lucky I didn't go pound them in the face. But I didn't. But I didn't crawl back in my shell, though, either, see? I was whole enough that I was all one that it bounced off me, actually. And probably it was because I wasn't supposed to be with them that day. Of course, then I didn't know that, but that's what I would say now, because there was something more important for me to be doing than to be playing dolls with them. And that's probably what happened for me. But like I said, my childhood was very unusual. you know, I mean, it wasn't painful or anything. It was just I was alone all the time. And and Jada's alone like that. I called her this morning, as a matter of fact, and she sounded kind of, you know, she didn't sound very happy. And I, you know, mentioned it to my daughter-in-law. I said, you know, she didn't sound really good. I don't think she likes being alone. And she said, you don't think so? I said, just an indication. I said, maybe she doesn't, you know, because she's sensitive. So I don't know, but it's important, I think, that you communicate properly with everybody and let them know why you don't want to see them anymore, things like that. I think it's important. You have to just you'll just be a better person. But in a career, a job situation or whatever, sometimes you really don't get the answer. And somebody will say, well, we just found somebody better. Well, that's great. You know, you'd like to know, what was it about me that you didn't really like? And people run from that, though, Maya. You know, like a lot of people that are doing interviews and stuff, they don't want to tell people if you're not, you know, if you're not good at something or you needed better qualifications or something like that. So, boy, it's amazing what things can do to us and turn us around and put us on our heels, that we affect everybody in one way or another that we encounter, no matter who it is. And I just, you know how I am, and Candy knows how I am, and that's how I am. I don't, I just wish more people probably could have been raised like me, maybe. Maybe they would have been more spiritual. Maybe they would have had that accessibility and things that would, somebody would say no, like, no, you can't play with us. We don't want you. Okay, good. I'm going to go talk to God. I'm going to go talk to somebody better than you. I think that's what I probably did. I just sat and meditated, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Maybe I watched TV. I know I read an awful lot. I love to read, and I don't do as much as I'd like to, but, yeah, I read an awful lot. So it didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt me at all. But most kids it does. It does hurt them. I mean, you have to be a certain type not to be hurt by that. But so sometimes, you know, and I really didn't get an answer. So sometimes no answer is the answer. And
right.
You figure
or
it out
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
you figure it out yourself, don't you, Maya? I mean, you can kind of analyze it, go back and say, well, okay, makes sense. But a lot of people like to hear the words. They like to really know. But sometimes the answer is no answer.
That's right. And we have to, I mean, I think we have to filter through the times when we can pursue something to get closure or to get an answer. And then there's times when we have to sit back and say, okay, I've been given the answer maybe even more than once, but I've just chosen not to see, hear, or accept it. And, you know, again, we're dealing with so many different personality types, even in a job situation, just because someone is the person that does the hiring or that lets someone know or that handles the human resources, the call, it's hard to say what their personality trait is. And they may not even know what. They may just know that they hired someone else. They may not know the reason. And so I think it's always worth a try, and we should try to live our lives by being honest. But then, as I mentioned, I think we can be too honest. I think that if we just try to, you know, not make promises that we know we're not going to keep and not say things that we know are not true, oh, you know, this was a fabulous interview. We love you. And when you're thinking in your head the whole time, I'll never hire this person. I mean, that's, like you said, you can walk away from those experiences and be very hurt and end up withdrawn and, you know, unable to really cope with relationships or getting turned down, you know, I mean, which we all have to deal with that. We all get, what's the word that I'm thinking of?
I don't know. Slipping my mind. Right by my head.
Rejection. We all get rejected.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just a part of life. It doesn't matter how great you are, how beautiful you are, how educated, how perfect for the job. whatever the situation, how great your friends are or you've been to your friends, we all are going to face rejection. But you're right. I mean, young, especially right at your granddaughter's age, they can be the coolest. And, you know, they form the little cliques. And if you don't happen to be, you know, an aggressive person to be on top of the cliques or one of the controlling leaders, then you're apt to be somebody for no reason. You know, I mean, these kids, it seems like there's no rhyme or reason, and they just say, well, let's leave out so-and-so. Yeah, let's do that. I mean, like, they have nothing better to do than to be mean. So hopefully we're...
Well, yeah, and sometimes there's almost like an, I don't want to say it's a gang leader, but it's a leader of the group who is the most assertive. And that's the one who will make the decisions. And if all the other ones are not like her or him, then they're going to just roll with it. And, like I said, I was just very, very fortunate. I had guidance that you couldn't see, or else it really probably would have crushed me. The way, you know, if the lady was still in the room, there was nothing to forgive. I just let it go. I just didn't see any sense in saying something to them, pursuing it. I just realized, okay, well, that day I'm not going to be playing dolls with them. Okay. I have other things to do, and walked, you know, went and did whatever I was going to do, and I managed very well. And I don't know. It almost makes you feel kind of bad for younger people when they get rejected because they really never got an answer. They really never knew, and it formed what they became, and it shapes you. And sometimes people have a terrible time of letting go of all that stuff because it does a number on them and they get really messed up. So I feel badly for those people. But I do know that, like me, maybe I was meditating when I was 7 years old. I don't know. I didn't even know what it was. But maybe I was doing it anyway, see? And that's really what helped to develop me. So I think you need to go within and not be so worried. If there isn't an answer, that means there is no answer. And just let it go. And just go on. Be the best person you can be. And if you do like Maya and myself and Candy, you know, you do it under grace. You care for everybody. There's nobody that's different. They're all humans. And I think you're going to end up the benefactor because you're going to feel a lot better about yourself. I know I do. I mean, I'm always helping somebody. Every day somebody comes to me with something. Hey, Natalie, can you do this? Every single day. Sometimes, you know, you get to the point where, oh, I don't want to answer them. I'll get an email, right? And then I'll walk away, and it's almost like somebody's saying to me, now, do you really want to do that? No. I'll turn around and I'll answer them, or I'll do whatever they ask me to do. Because, no, I don't really want to do that. But your inclination is to say no. I mean, you know, if you're bombarded and slammed all the time, but I don't do that. I don't know. I've been very, very fortunate. I don't know about you, Maya. Have you ever been hurt when you were really young? And
oh, we all have been, yes. I mean, I had a couple situations. I moved around so much when I was young, and it was not due to my parents being in the military. And, I mean, I went to probably 18 different schools.
See, that would have been really difficult.
It was. And, you know, I made some pretty dramatic changes. So I had, yeah, I mean, I had come back to a school that I had gone to sixth grade with, and I came back in seventh grade, and I had trouble the first couple of weeks with the older girls picking on me. And I mean, they didn't even know me. They were girls that I hadn't met, and they just made assumptions, and I think a lot of it was jealousy. And I just held my own, and I ended up, I did fine. I was a cheerleader. Everything worked out. But no, I mean, I had my moment.
Yeah, that would have been tough. That would have been tough.
It was. I mean, I had the first few weeks of, and even really any school, even teachers, you know, I can remember teachers that probably caused me to feel rejected or stupid because
I was just thinking that. Yep, me too.
You know, I would start a new school, and you know, they would say, "Well, you need to write your cursive," and I was like, "Well, I haven't learned that yet," and they would be exasperated. And I remember thinking, when I was younger, I didn't really understand. I just thought, "Well, there's something wrong with me." Looking back, I realized when you change schools 5 times in 1 year, you're not. It doesn't matter how smart you are. I mean, every school is at a different level, every class. So there was a lot of times like that. Plus, you have to get thick-skinned, or you have to be just a loner when you change schools like that, because you're coming into the already established little cliques and people, and it can be really hard to come in.
It can be devastating. It can really shape that person, and not in a good way. And I remember cursive. I was trying to, my teacher, she was a Greek lady, and she'd always say to me, why can't you write your letters like I ask you to? And I would say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'll try. And I'd go back. I'd like to flare my letters, you know. Finally, she was exasperated. She said, you know what, I can read your writing, and it's beautiful, so write any way you want. And I ended up, it was a handwriting class. And that's what happened to me. I ended up just doing my own thing. Oh, I was really lucky when I was a little girl, let me tell you. I just do what I wanted. I didn't do written book reports because I could read so well. I just went to the teacher and told her what the book was about, and I would get an A. That's how I did it. That's exactly what I did. And it was kind of cool when you think about it, because I was at advanced level, and they had to write this book report, and I think, oh, what a waste. I would rather just tell her what the book is about. And I guess she figured it out because she knew me pretty well. I would go up and just give my book report to her, you know, tell her about the book. And I would say, okay, great. I didn't even have to do it in front of the class. They were busy doing something, and she'd call me up at her desk. So I was really lucky. But in a sense, I really was. I guess I turned out okay. You turned out great. Candy turned out great, so, you know, there's always a chance that you can, better yourself, and if you don't get an answer, then that's your answer.
Right.
Because if you're supposed to, and it can be spiritual. I mean, you always have to look at it this way. Well, okay, I look at it this way. Okay, if this door doesn't open for me, okay, great, then I guess I'm not supposed to go through it. Okay. Must be a reason. Okay, so the next one will open, and I'll go through that one. I mean, that's how I run my business. I don't even sit and contemplate it. I just grasp at it, and that's what I do. We have a caller. You want me to take a caller? I think
sure.
We have. Hold on. Let me see who this is. And you can just talk a bit, and let me see who this is first of all, okay?
Okay. So I think, you know, what we can take away from this is that, you know, there's times and situations where it's good for us to pursue or to try to get an answer, especially if we feel like it'll help us to grow, it'll help us to understand. But we have to be prepared to hear what may be constructive and help us, but what may also not. And then sometimes we just have to give it up and realize that we're just not going to get the answer. We're not going to get the full explanation in details. And we just have to accept and go on that, you know, for the job or the guy or the friends, that for whatever reason, it wasn't anything that necessarily that we did or said or lacked. It just wasn't working out. And like Natalie said, we always have divine in our life, whatever you recognize to be divine. I see that to be God. And there's always the potential that exists. So let me check with Natalie if she's got a caller.
No, the lady just loved listening to the show. She said, oh, no, I'll be back next Monday night to listen. She said, you two are really great. I said, yeah, it was me mostly blabbering about my life. She said, no, it was very interesting. And another thing, too, that like the advantage for my granddaughter is going to be I'm going to teach her about divine intervention. I'm going to help with her spiritual growth. Because it's going to make her a very awesome young woman one day. It really will. And I think she has an advantage. And just like you with your grandson, you can teach them, well, don't get upset about that. You know, you're going to see, and you can relay back to your own life as a young child. And, well, of course, we're talking about younger kids right now because that's what's in our life right now. But, yeah, you have to listen to yourself. And I recommend that you just meditate. And those answers that you never get, okay, you weren't supposed to get it. Don't worry about it. If it wasn't good, see, then you didn't get it anyways. You didn't know. And if it was good, you still didn't miss the boat because they're the ones, like if it was a job, they're missing out on not having you. So go on to the next. Just one step at a time. Tomorrow is always a new day. I tell myself that all the time. Although my days have been really great, you can hear it in my voice. I'm just doing so much better. And I have the love of Maya Moon, and I have Candy, who's in the room right now, and many others. And so I always say how blessed I am, and I am. So I don't know, what is our topic going to be next week? Do you know my creative director?
I don't know yet.
Oh, it'll be a mystery. I'll get it in the mail, and that's what it'll be. And, of course, look for the posting. Do you have anything else you would like to add or in closing?
No, that's it. I kind of finished up while you were checking on the caller, and I just wish everyone a great evening and that you get your answers if they're something that's important to you and you're able to accept what you don't get. And that's it.
That's right. Andy just said, when I don't get an answer about something, I just move on. That's because you weren't supposed to know it in the first place. And if you keep telling yourself that, okay, good. Maybe I was spared something. Try to get a positive out of it, I guess. You know, I did it as a little girl, but I didn't even know what I was doing. It was instinctive. It was instinctive for me. I think we turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. Okay, well, I love you, Maya Moon. And Candy, you know I love you very much. And we had some guests in there tonight, which was awesome. Come back next Monday, 8 o'clock, same station, same time. And we'll have another great discussion. Look on the board to see what the topic is going to be. Because usually my lovely Maya Moon will send it to me on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I post it as soon as I can. And then Candy goes in and works her magic. And then you'll see it on Facebook, all the good stuff that comes through. So with that, I'm going to say have a good evening. Don't work too hard tomorrow. And be as spiritual as you can. And love you, Maya Moon. Love you, Candy. And
love
I'll
you.
See you. And I'll talk to you again this week, I'm sure. And Candy, I always chat with her. So have a good evening. With that, I'm going to say good night.